Today, on Rainbow Country, fetish, puppy play. Stay tuned for Gay Talk Radio right here on Rainbow Country.
Hi, I'm Garrett Conley, author of Boy Erased, a memoir. You're listening to Rainbow Country with Mark Tara on CIUT 89.5 FM.
Welcome to Rainbow Country, as I like to call it, a little gay radio show working to give voice to the LGBT community and beyond. As always, I am your tour guide through Rainbow Country, a Mark Tara. So, this is episode 183. Today, talking about fetishes, in particular, puppy play. I'm joined by Pup Kobe, Pup Noble, and Argo. We'll find out about the puppy play community, as well as the Black Eagle Kennel Club, one of the world's largest and most active groups that welcomes all pups and handlers, regardless of gender, sexuality, or experience level. Up next, fetish. Puppy play. Okay, so here we go. So I am here with Alpha Kobe, with Argo, and Noble. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
First of all, thank you all for being here in studio with me to have your voices, your stories be heard by the LGBT community and beyond. So thank you for being here in person. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much for having us.
Our pleasure.
So we are here today to talk about the leather community, the kink community in particular, the puppy community, puppy play. And first of all, Alpha Kobe, you and I, you've been on the show before.
Yes.
First of all, the puppy community, in particular, puppy play. What is puppy play?
Puppy play, to me, is a headspace that you get into, and it's where you get down and you act as an actual dog, but you're a human, and you're playing around with other pups, and you're playing with toys, you're getting belly scratches, you're getting ear scratches, just being a silly little playful pup and just having fun.
Now, the three of you, do you at all identify as pups or have been pups?
Well,
Argo?
I actually started out as a pup and very quickly realized that I identified more as a big dog than a puppy. I'm not the most playful puppy in the world.
And, are you a playful dog?
Well, it all depends on how you define play.
Okay.
Okay. But, the difference being that I was always sort of the pack leader. I was always sort of the person who was watching out for everybody else. So I was never really that playful. It was a lot more sort of aggressive. And I used to love to wrestle quite a bit. I mean, there's a lot of wrestling involved in puppy play, too. And if I may add something to what Kobe had originally said. The broader definition we use is it's a animal role play. It's where people basically live out a fantasy of being a pet or owning a pet that is, obviously it's a human being in an outfit, but they are behaving as a dog. They are being played with as a dog. And in some cases, they're being owned as a dog.
Now, Argo, my understanding is, at least in the overall leather community, there are bears, there are otters. For me, puppies and puppy play seems to be a newer thing. Is that accurate?
Well, relatively speaking, yes. I mean, puppy play has been around for decades. It's just that in the last, in the last decade especially, it seems to have really taken off, especially with younger people, because it's sort of a freeform role play, and there aren't a lot of hardcore protocols that you have to obey, and there isn't really a set wardrobe you have to weigh. Like, I mean, we keep throwing the term leather community around. It's actually not specific to leather. There are pups who wear rubber. There are pups who wear neoprene. There are pups who wear nothing.
But is it under the kink community?
Or? Yeah, but even I like to use the term the broader fetish community, because the leather community is actually part of the broader fetish community.
Okay. And Noble, yourself, how did this come about for you in regards to being part of the puppy community, puppy play? How did this happen for you?
Well, I got introduced to it when I was younger. When I was about 19, someone showed me a pup hood they had. I had no idea what that was.
They showed you a what?
A pup hood.
A pup hood.
Yeah, okay. It was a leather Mr. S hood at the time. And then I tried out some of the pup role play with him, and I was actually, oh, this is pretty neat. And I started off as a puppy, and then over time and experience, I became more and more of a beta, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. And I ended up getting a puppy later on in life, and I started showing him stuff and all that fun stuff.
Now, when you say a beta, what does a beta mean?
It means I can be a sub or a dom.
Okay. So you're sort of versatile.
Yeah, very versatile.
Okay. So, Kobe.
Yeah.
Puppy play. What is puppy play? But in particular, what is not puppy play? My understanding is it does not include bestiality and it does not include humiliation. Am I correct?
It does aspects of humiliation based off of the relationship that the pup has with whatever handler or partner they're with. There can be some humiliation there, but in terms of bestiality, it has nothing to do with actual dogs.
Okay.
The person who's actually role-playing as a dog is still a human. It's just, it's more of a kink and it's more of a headspace that the person gets into to be able to be a playful dog. Mm-hmm. But they're not, there's no dogs whatsoever in puppy play at all.
Argo, did you want to jump in on that?
The whole thing about humiliation, as Kobe stated, there are people who do use elements of humiliation play, but there are a lot of people who don't. Mm-hmm. For a lot of people, it's about physical, being able to be physical with other people. For some, it's about nonverbal communication and just physical contact and affection. As I'd said earlier, I mean, one of the really appealing aspects of puppy play in general is that it's really the form it takes is really up to the people who are doing it. It's like any good BDSM relationship. You negotiate, okay, this is how it's going to go. Mm-hmm. This is how far I will go. This is how far you want to take me. And it's all negotiated ahead of time. So if some people get off on humiliation, oh yeah, they have a great time with it.
Okay.
But it's not required.
Are there safe words?
Well, there can be, yeah. Again, I mean, the whole thing, it's still under the umbrella of fetish and kink. So there are safe words when people are doing something that requires a safe word, like something a little bit more extreme. Mm-hmm. But in general, I mean, there are some pups who, you know, will talk as a person. There are some pups who will want to have a system of barks, like one bark for yes, two barks for no. Mm-hmm. When they need something, they whine or they sit up and beg. But again, I mean, it's very free. It's very open. And people just sort of make it what they want to make it.
Right.
And that's where it comes into the actual relationship of the two people who are in that puppy moment.
Kobe, how did you come to discovering the puppy community, discovering that that was an aspect of yourself?
I was actually chatting with a person on an app, and they invited me out to one of the events that Argo was holding, which was called Bad Dog. And I've never heard of this before myself. And I was kind of intrigued. He said, well, let's go meet up there. I'm actually supposed to be meeting someone else there. So let's meet up and have a good time, chat. And that's actually when I first met Noble. I saw him playing on the mats. And the person I was supposed to meet there never showed up. So I was like, oh, okay, so I'm here by myself. And I'm in this new environment that I have no idea what is going on. I see these people wearing all these puppy hoods and rolling around on the mats and people standing around watching. And I'm just like, oh, okay, what do I do? So I just kind of was watching and kind of like seeing how things were going on. I stuck around, grabbed a couple beers, and I just started thinking to myself, this is kind of interesting. It's intriguing to me. So I started coming back more and more to the Bad Dog every now and then and getting a little bit more involved. And then I would start getting on to the actual mats and playing around with the puppies and just seeing how things go. And I'm like, you know what? This is for me. I'm having fun. This is great. So I just, from there, just blossomed.
Argo, for yourself, how did you come to this? How did you come to the whole puppy and then realizing that you were basically a dog?
Well, my story is, it goes back probably about, as far as puppy play goes, about 15 years. I've been very heavily involved in BDSM kink education in the Toronto community. And I used to run a program. It was a beginner's kink program called So You Want to Be Kinky. And it was basically, I used to call it Kinker Garden. It was basically kink for people who knew nothing about kink but wanted to learn. And a very good friend of mine presented a workshop on puppy play. And I thought, well, that's fun. That's interesting. But at the time, it didn't really connect with me. And about a year later, there was an event at, can I say Northbound Leather?
Of course.
Yeah, okay. So there was an event.
You just did.
Yeah, okay. Didn't want to, you know, cut any like free pitches, but Northbound Leather would always have a party for Pride, and I think they still do. And they hired my friend to do some BDSM demos. And the day before the party, his demo bottom canceled. So he called me up and he said, look, I know this isn't really your thing, but would you be a dog for me for a puppy play exhibition? And I said, well, you know what? As long as you can get me a hood, I'll do it. Because, you know, I don't want to do it in my own face because I've never done it before and whatever. And basically, the good people at Northbound, they let me borrow a hood and paws and a leather thong with a tail on it. And I went upstairs in my own clothes and I came back down in just the puppy gear. And I just sort of fell in what we call it pup space. But at the time, I didn't really know that that's what it was. I just sort of got into this sort of meditative state and I just started thinking, okay, what would my dog do right now? What would my dog do right now? And that was basically my whole train of thought. And the next thing I knew, it had been almost an hour and a half and I didn't remember any of it. And at the end, people were just shocked that it was me because I don't really give off that typical puppy vibe. And George, the owner of Northbound, I handed him back the hood and I said, thanks. He said, no, you keep it. And then Dart, who's the name of the person that my friend that was doing the demo, he said to me, you know, we should organize an event because back then they were still having the Church Street Fetish Fair. So let's organize a puppy event in the park. So we did, and we had an excellent turnout. And then the Black Eagle approached us and said, hey, why don't you guys start a puppy night here? And this was 11 years ago. And since then, I mean, I started out playing, but because there were only a few of us there, but now we typically have 60 to 70 people in various types of pup gear, plus a whole bar full of spectators watching the event, and the place is packed. And it actually got so busy, we had to add a second night. So we actually have a Bad Dog night, which is the puppy sex party. And we have the regular pup night, which is just sort of a social pup mosh and wrestling and hanging out and drinking with your friends.
So that's you in regards to puppy play, that sort of thing. So when did you realize that you're not necessarily a pup, you're a dog?
Well, because I've always got I've always had a very aggressive streak. And when I was in my pup gear in the early days of the pup nights at the Black Eagle, we used to wrestle most of the time. It was because I was there mostly for the wrestling. And I like to win. And I found out that there were a lot of pups, because I'm not a small person. I mean, I'm 6'1", like 205, 210 pounds. There were a lot of pups who were sort of afraid to get on the mats when I was on the mats. So I had to sort of dial it back a little bit. And I realized, okay, what they're doing and what I'm doing is similar, but it's not the same. So from that point, I sort of decided, okay, well, I'm actually more of a dog, because now my job is, here are all these new people in the community, here are all these young people in the community, someone's got to watch out for them.
So that's when you began to make that switch.
Yeah.
Noble, for yourself, you said you were a beta. How did you come to that realization?
It took a while, to be honest. When I first got on the puppy play, it was a way to get rid of stress and just clear my head, because I had a stressful life, and it was a way to actually get out and be myself and all that.
And you were young. You started this at 19?
Yeah. And then I kind of figured out I was kind of in the middle, because I like being in control, but there's times where I don't. And after meeting up with some other pups throughout a couple of years of experience, I learned I like to switch it up. And there's times where I just want to, you know, piss around and wrestle people. And there's times where I just want to be in control and show people what to do. Or train them how to act, like ball and fetch and all the fun puppy stuff.
Do you see yourself evolving to maybe be more of an alpha, or do you think that being a beta is your sweet spot?
Well, I'm an alpha to my own pup.
So you have your own pup?
Yeah.
Okay.
8 years now? Yeah, 8 years. I met him when he was when he was still figuring out stuff. And I introduced him to pup play, and he thought that was nice. And then
you just evolved from there.
I kind of did, yeah.
Yeah.
I've always viewed pup play as showing someone that's not that experienced with pup play, between a younger or a newer pup, I should say, and an older pup, between alpha and beta, so they actually understand what they're doing. I always think that you should start off as a sub and have a proper handler that knows what they're doing,
right,
that knows how to treat you correctly, that knows your limits, will ask questions and make sure you're safe, and teach them so they know when they go off and do their own thing that this is how you should treat a sub with respect, make sure they understand what's going on and all that stuff.
Argo?
Now, the really wonderful thing about what Noble just said is, historically, that's exactly how the leather community used to operate. You would get somebody who was more experienced, who would find somebody new who was trying to enter the community, and they would sort of take them under their wing and teach them, okay, this is what you do, this is how you do it, this is what to watch out for, and that sort of thing. And I mean, there are a lot of, I mean, I don't know if you want to touch on this at all, but there are a lot of leather people, hardcore leather guys, that sort of look down on the puppy community. And what they don't realize is everything that the classical leather community used to stand for is exactly what Noble just stated. You find somebody younger, you find somebody newer, you find somebody less experienced, and you teach them what you know, so that at some point they go off and do the same for somebody else.
Why do you think the leather community looks down on the puppy community or puppy player?
Well,
why do you think that is?
Why do I think that is? Well, here's where I get into trouble. Because I was actually I was brought up in the formal leather community. And there is a fairly rigid sort of approach to it that a lot of what they would call old guard leather guys try to stick to.
Which would be what? In a
nutshell, there's a code of conduct. There's this whole idea that if somebody is a sir, then he has to be treated with a certain level of respect and isn't questioned and all of this stuff. And you have to sort of earn your place, and someone else has to say, okay, you're ready, off you go. And it's very much about discipline for yourself and for other people. And a lot of the classical leather guys kind of look down on the puppy thing, A, because it's young people. And there's a fair amount of ageism still in the leather community. Of course, a lot of the old dinosaurs are starting to get, you know, they're just dying off, and the younger people are taking over, which is what happens in every culture. But you've also got this whole idea that with puppy play, it's not structured. There is no, like, set protocol that mm-hmm. everyone has to adhere to. Like, I mean, classical leather, you have all of these protocols, you have these rules, you have these codes, and a lot of people just don't want to bother with that. Mm-hmm. And that's their prerogative. I mean, I don't personally believe that, you know, you have to obey a certain set of rules because it's really just between you and whoever you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. And, puppy play is free. It's expressive. It's individual. And that doesn't really fit in with the dynamic of the, what would be considered traditional leather. And so a lot of the leather guys are like, well, you guys are just sort of looking for an easy way in. But it's like, well, is it the easy way or is it just the newer way?
Kobe, how did you realize that you were an alpha? How did that come about for you?
For myself, it's because I'm very, not really dominant, but I'm a very dominant individual. Like, I like making things to the point. I like taking people under my wing, giving them wisdom, teaching them the ways, making sure they know, because I've got a lot of life experience. So I like sharing that knowledge and passing that on to the younger people to say, this is how things are done this way. I used to do it this way. I don't want to see you end up the way I used to do it. So I want to make sure things are going right for you guys. So I talk to a lot of the pups. A lot of them actually do come to me and ask me for advice on certain situations. So it's that authoritative figure and knowledge that I have that people look for. So I came out to myself as an alpha because I love helping people and giving that instillment of trust and authority to the younger pups was what made me an alpha.
Hmm. Well said. Well said. All of you. On that note, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Bill 7, to ban discrimination in employment, government services, and housing based on a person's sexual orientation was up for a vote at Queen's Park. Most NDP and Liberal MPPs supported the bill, but without some progressive conservative legislators backing, a divisive split could rack the province. Four PCs decided to break party ranks to vote with their conscience and support Bill 7. Cabinet Minister and MPP Dennis Timbrell did it to show solidarity for his beloved brother, the well-known drag queen, Rusty Ryan. And for me, a gay politician who was not yet out, I had to take a stand. We were known as the Gang of Four. I'm former Cabinet Minister and MPP Phil Gillies. The date, December 2nd, 1986, when LGBT rights came to Ontario.
I'm Susan Gapka, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
Alpha and beta. If there is a dominant role, it can be taken by a handler, a trainer, a master, or in the case of someone who identifies as a pup, an alpha. Alpha Kobe, you are a pup. You're also an alpha. So here's the question. If someone is a pup and they are an alpha, can they have someone who's above them, a handler, a master, a trainer? Is that how it works?
Absolutely. Yeah. If an alpha is still that authoritative figure for the younger pups and giving them the guidance and knowledge of being the best pup that they can be, mm-hmm. they can still themselves have a master or a handler above them because in my case, I'm a switch, which means I can go either way. I can be a submissive some days or I can be a dominant, but 9 times out of 10, I'm a dominant. So I can still have that side of me where I need someone or would like someone to dominate me.
And you have pups underneath you.
So yes, I have a pack of pups and I have 5 pups.
You have 5 now.
Yes.
And so if you have someone above you, are they then the master to your pups?
No, that's a whole different ballgame.
Okay. So you deal
with
that.
If it's the master above me, that's a relationship between us
two. The two of you.
The two of us.
Okay.
The pack that I have is the relationship I have with my pack.
Okay. And the twain shall not meet.
Yeah. So as Argo was mentioning earlier, it's all based on rules, regulations, and talking with each other and setting out all the guidelines of your relationship before you get into that relationship. Okay. So if I'm to have a master or a handler, I'm going to respect that relationship. And then he has to also respect my relationship with my pups.
If you guys have a broader conversation, can all those connect?
Possibly. It just all depends on what each person is looking for.
Okay. Noble, did you want to jump in?
Yeah, I'm with Kobe there. I have my own pup. If for some reason I would actually get an alpha or someone above me that was a beta or whatever, he would not have control over what goes on between me and Ashtar. That would be strictly between me and them. I mean him, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Argo, did you want to?
Yeah. Well, basically what we're talking about here, it's sort of a pantomime of pack dynamics. So when you have in a situation like with Cody where you have a number of pups in one, what we would call a pack, which is another term for a loosely knit family, because leather family is another thing that this is sort of equated to, where it's just sort of to organize the hierarchy. I mean, you'll have an alpha, you'll have a beta, and you'll have a bunch of sub-pups. And there are instances where you have a handler slash owner slash master who has a number of pups, and he will usually, well, not usually, but often have an alpha pup who then sort of helps administrate everything that's going on with the family. It's a family dynamic thing.
Okay. So a puppy who is owned, uncollared, can be referred to as a stray?
Yeah, some pups like to call themselves strays.
Yeah.
And can a stray be brought into someone's collective?
I mean, basically, a stray is just a pup who hasn't officially been collared or claimed by somebody or hasn't established a solid relationship with someone. So, of course, I mean, if they want to stay independent and they want to just sort of have fun with their friends, then they stay as stray. If they find a pack or a handler or a group of people whom everybody wants to form some sort of relationship, then sure, they can give up their status as a stray and become part of a pack.
Hmm. Kobe?
Yeah, and basically off of what Argo just said there as well, there's the knit little family that you have, but there's also all your friends that are part of that big family of the community. And some of my personal friends who are pups don't want packs whatsoever. They just want to be a stray, which means they just want to be a pup. They just want to have fun, play, do whatever, and then that's about it. They don't want to be part of a pack. They don't want any sort of relationship drama that goes along with some of the packs sometimes, not all the times, but they just want to be themselves, just have fun.
Family drama.
Family drama. Argo?
Well, to go further on that point, the Toronto pup community, as I said, we've been doing events at the Eagle for about 11 years. And several years after that, I formed what is now the Black Eagle Kennel Club. And the Black Eagle Kennel Club is basically the greater Toronto area pups who regularly come out to events, and it's a social network. And right now, we have a Facebook group and we have a website. Right now, we have over 440 members. And we have a regular participation on our Saturday. Like, we do pup nights on Saturdays, and we do on like the third Saturday of the month, and we do our bad dog event on the fourth Thursday of the month. And we have a core group of pups and handlers who come out very often. And that's sort of morphed into its own sort of family. I mean, we have just on a typical pup night, as I said, we'll have 70 or 80 pups. And most of them are friends. I mean, obviously, you know, not everybody gets along with everybody. But for the most part, everybody is very well behaved and everybody understands, all right, because we have one overriding rule, and that is if you can't play nice, you can't play at all. And over the course of 11 years, I have had to kick people out of the event because they didn't want to respect other people's space, other people's consent, or else they just wanted to be obnoxious. Mm-hmm. But by default, it is sort of the only game in town, and everyone understands that Argo bites. And if you're going to be a pain in the ass and you're going to be a bad person, you're not going to be allowed to participate. Mm. So I think fear, if that works, I mean, that helps to keep everybody civil and adult. Because, yeah, I mean, everyone's on the floor crawling around and barking and rolling around and wrestling and that sort of thing. And on bad dog nights, they're doing a lot more than that. But we are still adults. You know, we have people there from age 19 to age 60. You know, we don't discriminate on age. We don't discriminate on body shape. We don't discriminate on gender. We don't discriminate on sexuality. Everybody is welcome as long as you're willing to welcome everybody else. Mm. And we've basically grown into one of the largest pup groups in one of the largest in the world. And we have probably one of the largest, if not the largest, monthly event of a gathering of pups.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really been amazing. And the support from the community has been outstanding.
Well done. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk sexuality. Got your attention. Okay. Puppy play. Kobe, I'm going to start with yourself. Puppy play, does it always lead to sex?
Not always, no. Because puppy play, like I said before, based off the relationship and the dynamic of that relationship between the two people. With myself, I've got a pack of pups, and I've got a different relationship with each of my pups.
Okay.
So I have a boyfriend who is one of my pups, and I've also got my other pups, but our dynamic is different from the rest of my pups. So we don't always have sexual encounters. I myself also hold events on a regular basis outside of the Black Eagle Kennel Club at my house. We go out skating. We go to Casa Loma. We do all these different events. So not everything is all revolved around sex. Mm. It's just friends getting together, having a good time, pupping out, and just being with each other.
So there's a social element to it.
Absolutely.
Oh, there's a very huge, much a social event.
Very yeah. huge social aspect of it. And it's, I find with a lot of the younger pups, and Augur can agree with this as well, that they're very anxious. They're got a lot of anxiety. Some of them have depression. So being a pup actually brings them out of that anxiety zone, mm-hmm. puts them in that headspace, and just they can be free. They don't have to worry about being scared.
It also gives them a really good sense of belonging because, I mean, for the most part, if you're a pup and you're in your gear and you're on the mat, people are going to play with you, whether you know them or not. And for a lot of people, especially when you're new to the community, it's not easy to make friends. And it's sort of a common thread that sort of binds the group together is that everyone has this interest and we go from there. And I mean, we've done Kobe is, you know, he has his events and actually Noble does some things in Brantford, I believe.
Yeah, once a month. Yeah.
And we even do things like the Kennel Club. We'll do one night, we'll all go to a restaurant together or we'll go shoot pool somewhere.
So when you're being social, not sexual, but being social, are you in gear?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay.
But most of the time, it's just like a hood. It's not like you're all dressed up in your puppy tails and your harnesses and whatever. Sometimes just a hood. Sometimes people don't even wear hoods when they're in social gatherings.
It's pretty interesting.
It depends.
Yeah. We do some events, and we mostly stick to the village because it's safe. I mean, obviously, people get it. I mean, they see a bunch of people walking around with dog hoods on. I mean, obviously, if you go to the Eaton Center, people are going to stare and point.
Right.
But I mean, on Church Street, you know, we'll go out together and we'll go do things together. And some people will be in their hoods because some people, there's that whole idea that when you're wearing a mask, it sort of frees you because there's a certain level, even though people will know that it's you. It makes you feel like you've got a little bit of anonymity and people tend to change their personality a little bit when they've got a mask on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And some people may not even know who you are with your mask.
Yeah.
It just all depends because when I first got my new hood after being a pup for so long, people are like, who's that?
Yeah.
Because it's a brand new hood. They don't know who it is. And so you start talking, getting to know, oh, it's you. So.
Noble, Argo was just mentioning that you have a once a month event in Brantford.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that.
It's just a once-a-month gathering in Brantford. We just piss around, play games, watch movies. We'll go to downtown and grab some drinks or do karaoke at night sometimes.
And is this – when you guys get together, is this at your place? Is this like at a bar in particular?
My place. Got a party room in our apartment. I just sign it out. There we go. Not rent. Sign it out. Sign it out for the day and just hang out in there.
Hang out there and maybe then go out to
go downtown. Something else. Yeah.
Sometimes we go out for dinner. Sometimes we order in. Just all depends.
Yeah, it all depends what people feel like. Yeah.
And how long have you been doing this?
That's a good question. 2 years? Almost? Okay. Yeah, 2 years now.
It's been at least a couple of years.
Have you been... Is it growing for you?
A bit. We only had about 2 to 5 people show up to begin with, and then we have about 15 to 20 on average now.
In 2 years?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, I guess.
That's fantastic.
He's modest.
Try to be.
And I also, at my place, I hold an annual Christmas party as well at my personal apartment. Mm-hmm. And I invite all the pups that I want to come, to those especially who don't really have anywhere to go for Christmas. Mm-hmm. They don't have any family, or if they just want to be with people.
Argo, did you want to jump in?
Yeah, I was just going to jump in. And I may have already made this point, but for a lot of people, it is a community that they can belong to. I mean, being queer is difficult in some parts of the world, and being young and queer is never easy. Nope. So when you find a group that there are a fair number of young people there, and everybody's queer, and it's, we try to maintain a judgment-free zone, it's really appealing. I mean, lately we've been getting a lot of straight women coming to the event at the Eagle because they feel safe there. And I mean, they've seen us eject people who were, you know, reaching out and trying to grab people. They've seen us not just say, hey, we're here to protect you. So there's safety in a community. There's comfort in a community. And the fact that you're also all exploring a kink and you're exploring your role play, and it can lead to a lot more things. Like, it can lead to sexual relationships. It can lead to family relationships. It just sort of broadens the appeal of the whole pup scene.
Argo, earlier you were talking about events happening at the Black Eagle. When do these happen again?
We have our regular pup night happens on the third Saturday of every month at the Black Eagle Toronto, and that runs from 7 to about 9:30, because there's usually a dance party at the Eagle on Saturday nights. And then, generally speaking, about 20 or 30 of us all just sort of go across the street to O'Grady's, and they let us have the room upstairs, and we all just eat. We hang out, we eat, we have drinks. Mm-hmm. And the Saturday pup night is basically a social thing. I mean, nudity is allowed, but not sex. And it's wrestling, it's socializing, it's playing. And then on the fourth Thursday of every month, we have an event we call Bad Dog. And Bad Dog is basically no holds barred, consensual sexual play.
So is this your most popular event?
Actually, no. The regular pup night tends to be more popular simply because it's on a Saturday.
Okay.
But also because it's not quite as extreme. The Bad Dog event, people are allowed to have penetrative sex. I mean, people are fucking, and it's actually a lot of fun to watch. And that's also the one that's harder to police, because we also tend to get... We do have younger people, and there's a lot of nudity and sex happening. So we do have to have security. We do have to make sure that people understand the rules before they go in.
But, and is there – let me just stop you there.
Yeah.
For your events, are there dress codes?
No. I mean, if you want to be on the mats with the pups, then there are safety dress codes. Like, for example, you can't wear hard-soled shoes because other people will be crawling around the floor. You don't want to step on their fingers. We don't allow spiked collars. We don't allow if you're going to be wrestling, we don't allow you to have anything that has buckles on it, because those little pins can sometimes come up and hurt somebody. But
and
a
you
lot
don't necessarily have to be dressed in leather.
Oh, no. We don't. I mean, there are pups who wear leather. There's some pups who come in like full head-to-toe gear. There's some who just put on a hood and strip naked. Mm-hmm. I mean, my pup, my husband, his name is Pop Bailey. He basically puts on his hood, puts on a pair of mitts, strips down naked, and
sleeps.
Lately, he's been sleeping a lot on the mats. But also, like during the Bad Dog events, I mean, he'll be like climbing on top of other pups. And if I may, one of the really beautiful things about the Bad Dog event is it was sort of a gamble to start with, because it was sort of an edgy thing. But we've gotten to the point now where, in the Black Eagle Toronto, which has traditionally had this reputation of men only, and no, if you're not male presenting, you don't belong here. That's gone. We've actually got to the point where we'll have people of all genders and all sexualities on the floor side by side having sex in plain view with the lights on. And if the people don't, if somebody comes in and starts saying something, then we get rid of them because we want people to see that there is a place where you can be yourself mm-hmm. and still be sexual
and be free.
Yeah. I mean, it is geared specifically towards the puppy community. We do encourage people to, you know, have some fun with the whole puppy element of mm-hmm. it. But it's really basically a very well-monitored sex party. And it's been growing. I mean, the last one we had, it was crazy, the last one.
I wasn't at the last one, but I heard it was pretty crazy.
Yeah, it was. We probably had about 40 or 50 people on the mats.
And this happens the third?
Fourth Thursday of the month from 9. Usually we wrap up around 11:30 midnight because it's a school night.
Okay. Wow, well said. Fascinating. On that note, let's take a break. All right. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Joanne Vanicola, and I'm an actor and a writer, and I was first on Rainbow Country with Mark Tara on CIUT 895 FM, discussing the massacre at Pulse Club in Orlando. I realized how important it was for our community to have a radio station, specifically for our issues, to talk about people in the LGBTQ community and to provide an outlet for our stories, to discuss our politics, culture, and give voice to the issues that matter to us. And, of course, our artists and the things that we do globally and right here in Toronto and talk about culture. And without people like Mark Tara providing a space for this with a radio show like this, then we wouldn't have that voice. So, support. Tune in. Thank you.
Hi, this is Police Constable Danielle Botno, also known as LGBT Cop, and you're listening to Rainbow Country with Mark Tara on CIUT 89.5 FM.
So let's talk about gear. Kobe, I'll start with yourself. Talk to me about the type of gear, uniforms, what apparel that's involved with the puppy community and puppy play.
Everybody looks at their gear a little bit differently, and there's different aspects of gear for each pup. You don't necessarily need to have gear to be a pup. I just want to put that straight out there because okay. Puppy play.
You don't have to be wearing a mask.
You don't have to have the mask. Okay. If you are a pup, you're a pup, you're a pup. It's okay. A headspace that you get into. So a lot of people will have the puppy hoods that they put on are usually made out of either leather or neoprene or latex. And it's basically a mask that they put on their head and looks like a dog. It's got ears, it's got a snout, it's got a nose, and it turns you into this dog. And there's some people that will wear strapped on paws so they can't use their fingers. It's just straight fists that they have to walk around on. And there's some people that wear leather harnesses across their chest. People will wear show tails that are just attached onto a belt that's attached to your pants. Some people will have insertable tails that they actually put into their ass and actually wag it with their butt. And there's people that have like knee pads. There's jock straps. There's a whole whack of different gears. Along with latex, you can have like a full latex suit that zippers up certain areas. And it's there's a wide range of gear. And even Argo can add on to how much more gear there are. There's no limit to gear.
So talk to me about your hood in particular. Is this newer for you?
Yes. This hood is actually a special custom hood. So I actually designed this hood and someone made it for me. It's Mr. S. Leather, okay. Which is like the main supplier for pup hoods globally that a lot of people nowadays know. There's many different suppliers for pup hoods.
What was Argo's
going on about Northbound Leather.
Yeah, because Northbound Leather makes some pretty awesome hoods, and they're one of our sponsors. So mm-hmm. I like to plug them.
Yeah, okay. But mine is specific for Mr. S. Leather. So
Mr. S. Leather and Northbound Leather, are they comparable in price?
Just depends because Mr. S. Leather is U.S. Okay. And Northbound Leather is Canadian.
Right.
So you have to do the conversion to see the price points.
Right.
There's also, I mean, quite a diversity. If we just can talk about hoods for a moment, there's quite a diverse range and styles of hoods. And when pups get really into it, and provided they have the cash to do it, very often they'll have custom hoods made, or else they'll learn how to make their own custom hoods. And for example, Argo is a Rottweiler. So I had a custom hood made with – it's a black leather hood with a tan – well, dark – that sort of medium tan snout.
Okay.
So that visually, yeah, you can tell, yeah, that's a Rottweiler.
Okay.
And there are very often pups who will sort of adopt a specific breed because the characteristics of that breed line up with their personalities.
Right.
So like, for example, I had mentioned earlier that I'm kind of a big guy and I'm kind of aggressive. So a Rottweiler was a natural fit for me.
So, whereas my dog of choice or personality-wise is a Husky.
A Husky.
Because they're very wise, they're very authoritative when they need to be, but they're also very playful and loving.
And Noble, what breed are you?
I guess I'm a mutt. Never really did a breed or anything like that.
You make hoods though, don't you?
No, he makes fursuits.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So Noble, in regards to your hood, talk to me about your hood.
Well, mine's the Neoprene Mr. S1. I got that one because it's the easiest to breathe in, because the lower muzzle part isn't really there, so I can actually breathe in and out. Mm-hmm. So when I'm rustling someone, I can actually have air come in.
Okay.
Versus another hood that has the full face like zippered shut, it's very hard to breathe in mm-hmm. that. When you're trying to throw someone down, you're using all your energy. It's like no.
And so for yourself, what do you choose to wear when you're
when I'm a pup?
Yeah.
Usually my harness, my hood, a pair of gloves or wrestling the MX mitts. Mm-hmm. So if I'm pushing someone down, I'm not hurting with my knuckles. I'm using cushion to push them down. And
they're basically MMA gloves. So yeah. They've got like the finger cutouts and they got the big padding on the knuckles. Yeah.
And you make fur suits? Yeah. Are those for what, furries?
Yeah.
So are you part of the furry community as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
And total so am I.
Are you real? Okay.
Yeah, my boyfriend's actually a furry, and so am I.
He's a deer.
Yeah. Okay. And right. So talk to me about the being part of the furry community as well. First of all, is there a gay furry community, an LGBT furry community?
It's not really LGBT specific, mm-hmm. just like the puppy community is now becoming. Furries are more of a broader range because you're covering your entire body mm-hmm. in a suit. So mm-hmm. it's basically like you're a furry cartoon character.
Yeah.
And you're putting on this personality of a completely different person. Nobody knows who you are mm-hmm. under that mask.
Usually,
nobody.
Yeah.
Because you're covering your entire body. And there's many different ranges of fursuits where you can be a bird, you can be a dragon, you can be a cosmic character. You can be.
So, Kobe, what are you when you dress?
I'm a husky.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's my fursona and my puppy personality is a husky.
And Noble?
I'm a cheetah.
You're a cheetah dressed in fur.
Yeah.
Okay.
When he's dressed.
And when you're a pup, you're a mutt.
Basically, yeah.
Okay.
So he's part dog, part pussy.
I wouldn't say that.
I have no response.
Now, actually, Noble is, like I said, we have a lot of wrestling that goes on at Pup Night, and he's usually one of the pups in the thick of it. He's a pretty aggressive character when he's wrestling.
He's yet to beat me, though.
We haven't wrestled in 3-4 months, and Argo is too chicken to wrestle me.
No, so. Argo is too busy making sure that everybody's safe, and he's also like twice your age.
So, Argo, when you don attire, what do you wear?
Well, I sort of, again, I mean, I started this back when I was still in the thick of the leather community. So mm-hmm. I had a custom outfit made out of leather. I had like a leather wrestling singlet, and I have the custom leather hood and I have the leather padded paws. And I would wear, you know, I had knee pads and wrestling boots because I was there mostly for the wrestling. Mm-hmm. But I also helped design some other stuff, because the more you wear it, the more you realize, okay, there are limitations to the traditional gear. Yeah. And when you have specific applications, there are little tweaks you can make. So, what's also become very popular that they haven't mentioned is some people aren't wearing hoods at all. They're buying what we would call a mask. And it's basically a formed leather or a formed neoprene hood. I mean, dog face. But instead of being a full head covering, it's just a face and straps on the, that hold it to your head.
Right.
That's true, yes.
Yeah. And those are becoming more and more popular because they're less expensive.
Right.
It's much easier to customize. I mean, there's a group in the UK, and the name escapes me, but they will make anything and any color, any combination. There's a store in the village called The Men's Room, and they had a collection of pup hoods where the color patterns were patterned after superheroes. Mm. So there was like a Wolverine mask. There was a Wonder Woman mask. There was a Batman Spider-Man. Mask, Spider-Man. And
very good.
Again, because there is no really set protocol. There are no set rules. You're allowed that kind of freedom of expression.
So when people are on the mat and they're wrestling around, the pups are wrestling around, are they just playing, or is that leading to something more? Is that leading to sex?
Well, that's really up to the individual. I mean, like for me, there's a certain erotic aspect to wrestling. That's why I do it.
That's why I asked.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to wrestle around with a hot guy, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know, like it's – because wrestling for me, it's a whole bunch of things. I mean, it's taking out your energy. It's – body-to-body contact. It's also bondage. It's also domination and submission. And sometimes it's just a wrestling match, and sometimes it's a prelude to, you know what, our bodies fit really well together and our energy is really compatible. Let's go home and do this a little bit more intensely.
So they're not necessarily having sex there?
They can.
Okay.
They can. On a bad dog night, they can. Okay. But generally speaking, at a pup night, it's just wrestling.
Okay.
But I've seen more than one romance spark from that kind of physical contact.
Mm-hmm. So where do you see this going? Like, obviously, Argo, you've been part of the leather community for a number of years, and you've seen the evolution. You were just saying at the Black Eagle now, people are welcomed more so that may not be part of the leather community. Dressed in leather or anything like that, people are welcomed in. How do you see the puppy community, puppy play, evolving over the next, you know, few years? Where do you see this going?
Well,
big and better things?
The thing is, I don't believe that individuals should really be making those kind of calls. I think that the community should be allowed to evolve the way that it's just going to evolve. Mm-hmm. I mean, I happen to be running the show right now, so they're using my rules and they're using my way of doing things. But we also try to make every effort to respond to what the community wants. And it's just, it's been evolving. I mean, there's no question of that. It's been evolving for the last 11 years in Toronto. But it hasn't been so much at my instigation. It's been more of an evolution based on responding to the needs of the community. You know, it's going to be what it's going to be. And
are women, and specifically just women, are they clamoring for something like this?
A lot of women are. It's
like, can you see like a lesbian group?
Oh yeah.
Being part of
we have lesbians that do come.
Yeah.
To
we have trans men and women. We have gay men. We have lesbians. We have bisexuals. We have heterosexuals. I had a custom hood made once that I thought it'd be cute because, you know, Argo's getting kind of old. I had it made out of gray wolf fur. And yes, I know, fur is murder. But I had a hood made out of gray wolf fur, and I tried wearing it, but I just kept going back to the original Argo hood because I identified with that more. Mm-hmm. I sold that hood to a straight couple, and because he identified as a wolf and she wanted to own a wolf. Mm. And we try to reach out. I mean, it is in the queer village. So there is some hesitation mm-hmm. for people to come specifically to the Eagle. Mm-hmm. But there are other fetish events that go on, and you will see straight men, straight women, you know, and queer people at these pansexual events.
Okay.
And they're all doing puppy stuff.
Okay.
You know, and I've had the privilege of traveling extensively, you know, across Canadian communities and American communities and some pup communities in Europe. And everywhere you go, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a good thing going here. Mm-hmm. We
have people been reaching out to you, other communities?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We've actually helped
like the pansexual community, the straight community. Yeah. Are they reaching out to you to say, how can we incorporate what you're doing in here?
And we are not the least bit selfish about our methods. Mm-hmm. And we've actually sent people, okay, here's our rules. Here's our waivers of liability. Here's how we do it. Here's how we organize things. Here's how we got sponsors. And we've actually helped communities outside of Toronto to build. I mean, there are pup groups all over North America, and there's some pretty healthy groups in the UK. Mm-hmm. I don't have a lot of exposure to pup groups in continental Europe, but I'm aware that there are a few out there. But in North America, it's just gone crazy.
Mm-hmm. It has,
you know, but again, I mean, it's going to be whatever the people doing it want it to be. Mm-hmm. And it's not up to me to decide for anybody else.
Of course.
You know, we have a committee for the Black Eagle Kennel Club. And I'm the senior person, but we also, like, we have a pansexual woman on the committee now. And we're trying to accommodate as many people as we can without compromising too much. And again, I mean, the committee is going to dictate where it's going to go. We're getting new people every month, which is awesome. We're getting more and more non-male and non-queer people coming out, which is incredibly awesome. I'm really happy with it. But really, where the community is going to go, it's not in my hands. I mean, I'm in my 50s. It's going to be in the hands of the 20-year-olds who are just stepping up now, because at some point, I'm going to have enough. I'm going to want to retire and curl up in front of the fireplace. And someone else is going to be taking care of this. Mm-hmm. And my job is just to lay down the groundwork and show them how I did it. And then it's their job to take it and do with it what they will.
Right. Okay. So going to go around to each of you and just, if you can, maybe in one word or one or two words. And Kobe, I'll start with yourself. Best part about being part of the puppy community?
I would say family. Being part of a family.
Noble?
Yeah, I'd have to say family or relationship.
And Argo?
Well, in the same vein, I would have to say community.
Well said. So if people want to find out more about you guys, what you do, Kobe, let's start with yourself.
The Black Eagle Kennel Club has a Facebook page. We have a very notable online presence. We also... constant word of mouth talking about our lifestyles, because I live as a pup every day. I wear my collar every day. Whether I'm actually on the ground playing as a pup, I'm still a pup every single day. So I talk to people about it. People are like, oh, what's this? What's this? So I explain it a little bit. Like, oh, that's kind of intriguing. So it's always out in play there. And I always talk to my pups about everything, and they're always out doing their own things, talking to people. It's getting more and more prevalent that I've seen myself in the last like 5 or 6 years. 6 years ago, I didn't even know what a pup was. It not even existed. But as Argo said, it's been going around for 11 years in Toronto. And over the last 6 years, it's evolved to what it is now. And it's just, it's going bigger and bigger and bigger. And I'm loving the way it's going.
And Noble, how can people find out about you, about what's going on in Brantford?
Well, I have a Twitter page. Which would be Noble Galactic. That's about it.
Okay. But is for your group that's happening in Brantford, do you have like a Facebook page for it or anything?
No, that would be a Twitter page again, which would be Brantford Pups.
Okay. I mean, we both do have a Telegram chat room that we have, because it's like a WhatsApp chat venue that people use. Mm-hmm. And I've got my own chat group. He's got his own chat group. Mm-hmm. We create events in there and people can respond. And when we talk to people in person, we add them to the group. And it's just... like Facebook, it's kind of like a messenger thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Argo?
Well, as Kobe stated, we have the Black Eagle Kennel Club Facebook page, and that's club with a K. We call it the BEKK for short. We tend to restrict access to the Facebook page to people who physically show up, because we do have a lot of younger people. We do have some closeted people, and we want to make sure that people in the group are actually interested in puppy play and not just looking to pick up some 20-year-old. Mm-hmm. We also have a website, which is kennelclub.ca. Again, club with a K, kennelclub.ca. And all of our events are listed there. We have overviews of things that we've done. We have a list of puppy rules and that sort of thing. There's also the Black Eagle website, which has which lists our events at the Eagle. There's also a group on Facebook called TORPAH, T-O-R-P-A-H, which is short for Toronto Pups and Handlers. And that's run by he's actually a member of the Kennel Club. His name is Shane. And that's another resource that people can turn to if they're more interested in the handler aspect of it. Mm. I mean, I deal mostly with puppies because, I mean, it's like, you know, that old joke that, you know, Toronto is a city of bottoms, but it's also like a city of puppies.
It truly is.
Yeah, like you've got probably, you know, 30 or 40 pups for every handler in Toronto. And but that's okay because, again, like, you can have an alpha and still be a puppy. You know, you don't have to be a handler because a handler sort of has to take a step back from the fun. Yeah. Like, if anything, my role in the community has become sort of like the Uber handler because I have to stand there and watch everyone else have fun. I don't get to play so much anymore, which is why I want to retire. So,
well said. Argo, Noble, Kobe, thanks for your time. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Hi, this is Emily Saliers from Indigo Girls, and you're listening to Rainbow Country on CIUT 89.5 FM.
Again, a special thanks to Pup Kobe, Pup Noble, and Argo. The next Puppy Play Night is on Saturday, January 18th, and the next Bad Dog event is on Thursday, January the 23rd. Both events happen at the Black Eagle, 457 Church Street. For more information on the Black Eagle Kennel Club, go to kennelclub.ca, and club is with a K. To keep up to date with all things Rainbow Country, follow me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, even at Mark Tara Music. Do you want to be on the show? Maybe you know someone who should be on the show? Contact me, send me an email, mark@marktara.com. The podcast for Rainbow Country is on iTunes, Podomatic.com, Google Play Music, Stitcher Radio, and on Spotify. And last week, we were number 4 on Podomatic's Gay and Lesbian chart. So get Rainbow Country wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And the official Rainbow Country playlist is on Spotify. And of course, everything is hooked up at my website, marktara.com. Next week, gender-bending rock band, Pterodactyl Problems. Finally, I want to take this time to thank you for taking your time to be with me. Remember, we live in days of making dreams come true. So believe in yourself, and the world will believe in you.
Hi, this is Emily Saliers from Indigo Girls, and you're listening to Rainbow Country on CIUT 89.5 FM.